Everybody doing tonight? That was weak. Can we do that again? How's everybody doing tonight? There we go. All right, so we are now in our second week of our Love Easter series. So last week, Parker led us in a topic of how Jesus loves us, and not only that, but how powerful that love is, how important it is that we embrace that love, how we plug into that love. And so last week, we heard Parker mention that when we hear Easter, a lot of people picture bunnies and colorful eggs. Who likes to paint eggs? Like, actually likes to paint eggs. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, and Easter baskets with goodies in them. But as Christians, we know it's a little bit more than that. Easter is about Jesus' love. It's about Jesus' sacrifice. Forgiveness by sacrifice on the cross. We all need forgiveness from time to time. So for me, when I needed forgiveness, it was me learning how to drive. How many of you were good at driving when you first started? Oh, yeah, just two of you. Yeah. So for me, so my mom is a teacher. So in the summers, when I took my first driving classes, she taught me how to drive. And so my brother's older than me, so he got to learn first. And God love him, he was not a good driver. Scared us to death. Like, I mean, legit, I was scared that he was going to kill us anytime he got in the driver's seat. And God love my mom. When she freaks out or she panics or nervous, it's just so obvious. It's so obvious. We know that she's freaking out. And so Gage is, that's my brother's name, Gage, he was driving, hitting curbs, almost hitting people, running stop signs. I mean, just abysmal, truly. And so two summers later, it's my turn to drive. And we're practicing in a parking lot. I mean, no one's in the parking lot. I'm going like 20 miles an hour. And my mom is still freaking out. And finally, my dad's in the back seat. He's pretty quiet. And I mean, she just got on my nerves. And I say, Mom, this is exactly why Gage turned out to be the driver that he was. And at that point, she starts to tear up, and she moves to the back seat, and Dad gets in the front. He says, pull out into the road and drive. And I was like, at that moment, I needed her to forgive me. And it blessed me that she would forgive me when I was scared, I was upset, and I was anxious. She just cared. She just wanted me to be good at driving. And from people, we need forgiveness from time to time. We need forgiveness from Jesus every single day. And we have that thanks to his death on the cross. So I ask one question that I want you to think about this entire time. What does the cross mean to you? You know, some people, they wear cross necklaces in remembrance and thanks. And some wear it and forget that it's even there. Talk how they want to talk. Act how they want to act. Some wear them and it's just a fashion piece. But the cross, it was and is more than a carved up piece of wood. It's a symbol of love, a special one at that. Jesus has shown love to us in many different ways. Right outside the temple, he created a whip and flipped tables for those being left out on purpose. He had done many healings. He cared for our physical being. He loved us. But the cross, that was different. It was symbolic of a sacrificial love, symbolic of a forgiving love, and a redemptive love. See, forgiveness is one of the greatest expressions of love. To wrong someone and receive love back from them, it blesses you in such a way that helps you feel like you are more than your mistakes. Now, forgiveness is not an offense just being forgotten and saying, oh, well, you hurt my feelings, but I just want the conflict to be over, so let's just drop it. Forgiveness is knowing that someone has done something wrong and offensive, but you know they're flawed and that they make mistakes. So you work to reconcile. Let them know it's not okay what they've done, but it will be okay and so will we. That is the kind of love that makes this world better. And as Christians, we should be the type of people that want to give and receive that kind of love that makes this world better. And it sounds great. But forgiveness is such a difficult topic to talk about. Loving people is one thing, And forgiving people feels like something entirely different. Sure, I can have mercy on them. Jesus loves them. And I love Jesus, so I'll love them too. But in that moment when someone really gets under your skin, you think, man, they are the worst. Or that thing they did, that was absolutely disgusting. And then consider your own life, mistakes, and flaws. We do things that make us seem like the worst. And we do disgusting things. And sometimes it gets in our heads, and we get down on ourselves, and we feel guilt, and we feel shame. But the good news is, there's a love so great that it can find a way to express forgiveness for anything. And that love is Jesus. He made it very clear that this is what he came to do, not to only live for us, but to die for us on the cross. So today in our scripture, we're talking about what is without a doubt the climax of Jesus' ministry. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. So I'll set the stage up for us with the first verse. Verse 33 says, "And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals on his right, and one on his left." So if you've been in church for a good bit of time, you may have heard of a place called Golgotha or Calvary. They both mean place of the skull, so that's where we're at. This was a primary execution site for crucifixion. Murderers, thieves, rebellious soldiers. And this isn't a graveyard, this isn't a cemetery, this is where people died. This is where death happened. And the disciples, they couldn't believe that this was happening. He was ruled not guilty 3 times by the Roman officials. But Jesus knew this would happen. He knew he would be rejected and killed. Even before he predicted it, the prophecies in the Old Testament did. And the disciples just didn't want to believe it or hear it. I'll drop this in here quickly as well. You do not have to have faith to believe that Jesus died on a cross. It's commonly accepted by historians that Jesus of Nazareth was a real person and that he was executed by the Romans. What God invites you to believe in is what he accomplished on the cross. So he was crucified. The last time I preached, I went into some of the more gory details of crucifixion, so I won't talk about it. But what we do know is that it was the most humiliating, agonizing death. He had spikes driven into his wrists and his feet. It lasted a super long time. Sometimes they were up there for a couple days. Breathing was incredibly hard. He had to push up on the spikes on his feet to breathe. And it was exhausting. He was ruled not guilty, being punished as a hardened criminal. We see his response. It says, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments." Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah, they do. They plotted this out for a long time. Of course they knew. They knew what they had done, but they did not know what they were doing. They were willing to lie, cheat, steal to get Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. Most of us will forgive if they ask us to. Most of us will forgive if we're mad for a bit, we let it stew. And Jesus pleads with God, forgive them. In the middle of his persecution and death, he extends mercy to them when he won't even extend it to himself. They are laughing at him, cheering at what they have done. Father, forgive them. Maybe you've blatantly wronged someone and they are still dealing with the consequences of it. Maybe you're feeling a lot of shame over sin that you just can't seem to break addiction from. Jesus is praying that you would experience forgiveness. And because of the cross, you can claim that forgiveness. He was actively praying that those who experience pride, hatred, those who were persecuting him and relishing in it, to experience forgiveness. What did he get back from it? More of the same. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." So these are the Roman officials saying, "Come on, show us who you are. If you are the Son of God, get off. You're not so tough now." And one of the criminals who were hanging railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Save yourself and us. This first criminal, he didn't get it. If Jesus was the Christ, it was not save himself and us. It was save himself or us. That was the choice Jesus was making. The thing about the crucifixion story that truly blows my mind, that I marvel at, is that Jesus could have saved himself. You know, sometimes we make decisions, they're locked in, and there's no going back. In every moment of mockery, ridicule, torture, Jesus had that choice to save himself or us. All he had to do was say, "Stop." But he stayed. So earlier I read about the sour wine that he was offered. So this was good tasting wine that would have quenched his thirst. In the Gospel of Mark, he refused a wine that would have numbed his senses. It would have made his pain begin to go away to a degree. It would have made it easier for him to be on the cross. Every moment, he had the chance to say, "Stop." And he stayed. Jesus was going through hell, fully alert. He stepped in for us and he took on the wrath for our sins. "Come down and save us both." Little did he know that Jesus was choosing us. But the other guy begins to see something about Jesus that's different. He says, "But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sense of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" Now, at the beginning of his crucifixion, the second criminal was in harmony with the first. I mean, these are hardened criminals. Just like how I said, it's hard for Jesus to talk. It's just as hard for these criminals to talk, and they're mocking him with every last breath that they have. Everyone was taunting Jesus at first. But there was something about what Jesus is doing, what Jesus is saying. He's captured this man's attention. A miracle has taken place here. This man hasn't sat here and put the evidence together of, "Oh, you know, he could be Christ because of this and that. And, oh yeah, this prophet said this. Yeah, I believe." What this man has witnessed from Jesus on the cross has him absolutely convinced that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, his Lord and his Savior. This criminal says to the other, "Dude, we deserve this." He does not. There is something about catching a glimpse of the holiness of Jesus that reveals the guiltiness in our lives. The second criminal, he sees the holiness of Jesus and senses his guiltiness. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He's on the same cross next to him. He knows Jesus is going to die. But he is so convinced that Jesus is different and so confident that even death on the cross won't keep Jesus from letting him into his kingdom. And we don't know what he believed theology-wise. We don't know any of that. All we know is that he had enough faith to say, I believe. A hardened criminal says, please, Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. Jesus says, you're in. I'll see you later today. And he said to him, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. You don't need to work on yourself before Christ wants you, before he will accept you. We are not too far gone in our sin and in our faults that Christ wouldn't forgive us. The criminal on the cross is living proof of that. We have nothing to offer. We sing Reckless Love a lot, and there are lyrics that say, I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. What we can do with that love is live for him. Show that love to other people, however that looks in your life. Forgive those in your life that have wronged you. Ask those in your life that you have wronged for forgiveness. On the cross, Jesus showed us God's love, not just for the people watching that day, but for you and me today. Jesus expressed that love through forgiveness that is still active, and it's available to us and to be given to others through us. Imagine how this could change the way that we live, how we see God, how we love him. Love shows up in the low points of life. That's what the Easter season is all about. Jesus sacrificed, Jesus forgave, and Jesus redeems. The greatest act of love of all time. He's waiting for you to come home with open arms. Let's pray. Father, we come to you with gratitude that you would love us so much that you would send your only son to die for us on the cross. Lord, that you would send your son to bear the weight of our sin, our shame, our guilt, to go through hell for us, people who don't deserve it. Father, I thank you that you love us that much, that you are so, so good, that you have so much mercy on us, and that you favor us. Father, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.